We're back for another episode of the Salumas Podcast. This is Kalu.
This is Chris.
Brandon in the background.
And all the way in the back.
All the way in the background. He is
get back, Rosa.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, we're keeping that just so you know. It's not getting edited. But we have a special guest today. We'd like to let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ashley Shepherd Porter, and I'm really pumped to be on here tonight.
That's what's up. So the reason why we had her on here is for the title of this podcast episode. It is called The Perfect Leader. And so in our last sausage making episode, which has not been released yet, but it will be at some point, Chris and I were talking about what the perfect leader or the perfect politician or anything like that would be.
And it very much went the direction of a political discussion. We even looked each other in the eyes and we were like, do we want to go this way? And I said, Kalu, it's been too long coming. Let's just go ahead and get into it.
Yep.
So it's basically a libertarian and a dirty socialist talking politics about the current political atmosphere that's going on right now. But that left us the opportunity to discuss leadership
yes.
unto itself without yes. this shadow of political yuckiness that we got going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But who better to bring on when we mm-hmm. talk about leadership than somebody that got their hands dirty
exactly.
and actually tried to,
yes.
to make something of it.
Exactly. And to fall in line with what we talk about, this is all part of the grind. We say in every episode that to really appreciate the W's and the successes, you have got to be okay with taking L's.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a massive, massive thing. There is absolutely no way to understand success without any type of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one person that I was like, she has got to jump on here and talk to us. And so I just want you to tell your story and then we'll go into the rest of it, you know?
I mean, where do you want me to begin? I mean, I can start back in 1983 if you want me to. I mean,
83!
We can go all the way back.
I mean, wherever you want to start. Where did you, what got you thinking, hey, I want to do this. I want to step
Ruxpin.
Up. Teddy Ruxpin.
It was definitely not my buddy, because if you watch Golf Cart Confessions with Kenny Landerman, you'll know
good.
That I am
she's
terrified
good.
Of baby dolls.
She's good.
That was
she's
my
real good.
Confession.
Yes, I like her.
I'm so terrified of baby dolls. No, so, I mean, politics have been part of my life my entire life.
Okay.
And I grew up with a mom who was big member of the KEA, big union member, mm-hmm. and I remember when I was a kid, I would just get the crap embarrassed out of me because she would be on the news holding signs, and she was on the front line and picketing and doing those kinds of things. When you're a kid, you know, you're just like, man, my mom, I can't believe she's
yeah,
doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Like, this is so
But then
ridiculous.
Later on, you're like, damn, she had some moxie.
Yeah, she was
yeah.
badass. So, I mean, when I was a kid, she was always dragging me, you know, to Washington, D.C., which I thought was cool at the time because I like to go see the buildings. But she'd be like, oh, snap, there's a Kennedy. And, like, we'd go running off and
oh
go and, like,
gosh.
Track down, you know, a senator, you know, and talk to him for a little while. So always on the front line of politics being, you know, in my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was a kid, I thought, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be the president. Now, thankfully, I grew up in the 90s where everybody was being told you can be anything you want to be and you're special,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
nobody was actually like, hey, no lady's ever done that before, so
yeah.
good luck. The older I got, I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I don't
sure.
want
you
to
don't
do
want
that.
To, okay.
Right,
sure.
yeah.
Because you had to eat a lot of shit sandwiches to
so
even get,
many.
Like, at a local level.
Yeah.
Right.
So, on the national level, imagine all the doo-doo sandwiches you
yeah,
have to eat.
Tons.
I was like, no, this is not anything I ever want to consider. But, you know, when I was a kid, politics all the time, you know, always wearing my Clinton Gore shirt when mm-hmm. I was little. You know, that was kind of the jam. But then, and I'm going to say this in embarrassment, so this is kind of be a confession.
Oh, yeah,
hey, we cry on here, everything.
He does, right. I don't.
I
cried in court yesterday.
Good.
And it was real ugly. We'll have to talk. When we do a mental health
were
episode.
Like, oh.
Well, yes, I did do that.
Oh,
but
dang.
We'll have to talk about that in like a mental health episode.
Okay.
So hey, we got those.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I turned 18 on October the 11th of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly 30 days after September 11th,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I had been raised by this very liberal household. My mom, my dad, my grandparents, very liberal. But I was scared out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And all I knew at that point in time was that there was a president who told me that there were these bad people. They were going to come back for the United States and we had to take them out. You know, we had to do something. And so I let that fear, and that fear grew and grew and grew.
Damn.
And I swung way right.
Really?
I did.
Like, how right are we talking? Like,
not my daughter.
Like, nationalistic.
He said, not my daughter. Not my daughter.
Sorry. I like them just fine. Like over there.
Man, over there.
No, I went through some shameful times of some of the things that I remember that I said, and I got very, very right wing in my thinking about, and I've been very open about this throughout the campaign that I ran and everything. I even voted for like the constitutional amendment in Kentucky to define marriage between a man and a woman. Like, sure. I had drank the Kool-Aid. I was right. I was a Republican, and you know, we were doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a while for that fear to kind of subside. And then people started making fun of me in law school. And they were like, Shep, you are not a Republican. You just like their clothes. Like,
I do like their clothes, man.
You just like their clothes. And so, you know, I had to unlearn some of the things that I taught myself, because what I want everybody to know is, like, I'd never been taught to be that way. I'd never been taught to discriminate against people. I'd never been taught to talk the way that I talk to people sometimes.
Do you think that that had to do with the political affiliation or just your social group at that time?
It wasn't. No, I mean, most of my friends were like, you've gone effing crazy.
Sure.
Like, what is wrong with you?
But you said fear was the catalyst for all this.
Sure.
And then I feel like fear opens the door for everything to be driven off of this pathos, this pathological element, where
absolutely.
You're like, if it fills you up in any kind of pseudo-inspiring way, you're like, yes, sir. Like, a charismatic leader can just whisk you away, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I belong here. And before you know it.
Exactly. I mean, and that was what was going on with me. I mean, I'm not ever going to say that I was never mean and cruel, I don't think. But now when I look back, I think that was so not me.
I literally had the image of her being like, bite the curb. Bite the curb. It was like, but Shep is so nice.
Well, actually, there is a tattoo on my chest.
I know. I'm not real proud
of it. I'm not proud of it.
But it's part of my past.
It's a fire-breathing swastika. Just...
No. But I was just a real asshole.
I got you.
I mean, that's just who I was for a bit. So the thing that finally made me like snap and wake up was the 2008 election. So this was during the primary season, and of course I was registered Republican at that time, but all my friends were talking about, you know, are we going to support Barack Obama? Are we going to support Hillary Clinton? What are we going to do here? And I was like, well, I'm going to support John McCain. Because John McCain is the best thing ever. And it was the day that he announced that Sarah Palin was going to be his running mate. And I went, pump the effing brakes. Like,
sure.
What is this?
Yeah. They showed their hand, man.
Yeah, like, who is she? Like, where did this come from? And all my friends are just kind of laughing at me like, we've been telling you for a long time. You've been trying to make excuses for why you should still be in this party. Now you've come around on the social issues, so you're just like, oh, but I'm just, you know, a conservative, like fiscally conservative. Like, no, you're not. You're not a Republican. That's not who you are. And I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know that I ever was. It was just, again, I liked their clothes. And I was scared to death of what was going on in the United States, 2001 through, well, I mean, still today. Still happening. But
yeah.
When I finally changed my perception of things, and I'm sorry, I'm taking up so much time.
No, please. This is what we need.
Because otherwise, Kalu and I, Kareem, completely out of control.
Yeah. I could have taken many directions with the fire-breathing swastika.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could have just kept going.
Kalu's lightweight and genius when it comes to swastikas.
Yeah, super, super hardcore.
So hit him up if you have any questions.
Yeah, swastika jokes, I got you. That's not true. That's not
I don't know
good.
Who would be affiliated. I'm about to go to Germany in a couple of months.
Oh, it's okay. Deutschland. Oh,
yeah, is. We've got, what, 12 million followers there? You'll be fine.
Oh, great.
Ich liebe dich.
No, but I've already been like, dude, like to my husband, like, do we really need to, like, get some buttons that are like in German and in French that say we didn't vote for him. Like,
sure,
you know, be nice to us.
You're white enough, you'll be fine. Yeah. They treated me like shit. They thought I was Turkish. They treated me like crap all the time. And the people I was with were like, I'm like, why are they keep being rude to me like this? They're like, they think you're Turkish. It's fine. I'm like, it's not fine. But then I went to Holland and they were like, oh, American boy. I'm like, yes, that's right. And then the German people got shit on. So, you know, it's all context. Well, anyway, go ahead.
The people that look like me tend to do okay in Germany.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, I would say like, so. I do okay in Germany.
Do okay. You know,
I don't. They think I steal. They think I steal here. You should see it in Germany, though.
They're just shutting doors and everything.
Yeah, they're like, oh, is that a Toblerone in your pocket?
So good, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I jumped back to reality in 2008, and my parents and all my friends are all making fun of me, like, we told you so. And I think my mom was very relieved because she was getting a little bit nervous that, you know, she didn't have a daughter anymore. I think she was going to disown me from this.
But honestly, like, nothing is wrong with your party.
Right. Yeah.
And the big thing that you really said there was that it was rooted in fear.
It was.
You know, and so fear makes us do all kinds of stuff.
And it's one of the most difficult things to admit, that you were driven by.
Yes.
Because it's an admittance of some, to us, some modicum of weakness, I guess. Mm-hmm. We frame it up that way. It's a difficult thing for us to wrap our heads around. But
I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of things that I've done for fear, because I was scared of something.
Oh, Brandon's sneaking out to go poop.
You know, whether it's, you know, we do things because we're scared to hurt our image, or we're scared of one thing or another. So I think you absolutely, you justified all of that by saying, hey, I was scared and I did this. And I think there's a lot of people that do that, not just with their political affiliation, but with anything in life.
And I want to clarify too, I'm not trying to say that if you're a Republican that, you know, you're this fear monger or anything that. You know, it's just that was my experience.
Yes.
One person's experience of that.
And if someone thinks that, it's our podcast, we can call it, you suck. You really suck.
I
need to put your big boy pants on.
I have some amazing, like, dear, dear close friends who are very conservative Republicans, mm-hmm. but they mean well, and they've got and I'm sure they would say the same thing about me. They're
sure.
Like, bless Chris's heart.
Yeah.
He really believes the shit that he says.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But he's a good dude and I trust him. So we meet in the middle, but that's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Not demonizing somebody. And oftentimes I like to look at it in terms of the label should always be subsequent to the belief system. Mm-hmm. You only use the label as a descriptor for what you already possess. If the label comes prior to the belief system, you're probably fucked.
Yep.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that's a good transition for me to say that, you know, I did come back to the Democratic Party. I embraced those ideals. But because of my experiences from 2001 till 2008, I'm quite moderate. Maybe not moderate in what I believe personally, but moderate in the way that I believe that we should govern.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yes. Like,
which is a good...
Like, facilitate, but be somewhat hands-off at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I decided to run for the State House of Representatives in the 20th District when Jody Richards announced his retirement. And my entire campaign, and I might be looking at it through rose-colored glasses and saying that, oh, I did a great job. Obviously, I didn't, only got 361 votes, but...
I was. Let's get it.
Yeah. Thank you, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brandon does
his father. Oh.
He votes on the new flavor Lay's. That's about it.
You're that asshole that picked avocado and baked potatoes, wasn't it?
No, biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy.
It was dryer lint and hickory. Booger spit.
Oh, God.
So
talk to us about that part. So you stepped up to lead. Go ahead. Like, what at that point, what was your idea of a good leader at that point?
Well, and what compelled you
you to be that?
Other than, you know, having a legacy associated with it, what was the catalyst for that?
This is weird to talk about, but, you know, I've always thought I want to have some hand in public service. And I didn't really ever know how I would do that because my dream as a kid growing up, going to law school, was I was going to be a prosecutor, and that's how I was going to serve the public. Well, when I got out of law school in 2009, there was a statewide hiring freeze. And so there were no jobs in that capacity. And so I was really disappointed that, you know, I didn't get to be a public servant, which, you know,
I know.
Come on.
I was
like,
hey. I get to be a public servant.
Hey, I'm doing.
You're doing it.
You're knocking it out of the park now.
Hey, I'm trying, but goddamn, it's a thankless thing. Yeah, and it's not particularly lucrative either.
Right?
I make a lot of money moving furniture.
Sure.
There you go.
Exactly.
I do.
Yeah,
but so. The social work it helps you sleep at night.
Knowing
you're part of the solution or feeling like you're part of the solution genuinely, man, it's peace of mind.
Yeah,
it is,
and you can't buy that shit.
Well, it's peace of mind until it's not for the 8 hours that you're at.
Sure,
well, 8 hours is being kind. Yeah. 10-15 hours that you're at.
Wow.
There's a balance, I guess.
Right.
You know, self care, all that shit plays a role too.
So, I mean, I've done court-appointed work over the years. I've worked with you in court-appointed work over the years, representing kids, representing adults that have mental health issues. But I really didn't ever get to be the public servant that I wanted to be. And now, in this point in my career, it would be silly for me to, like, say, all right, well, I'm going to go and work for the county attorney's office or Commonwealth's office now or DPA. But my husband, he's a police officer. He's in the National Guard. And so for a while, I'd be like, I wonder if I can get down to the Army recruiting office. And now I'm going to be in the Army. And he's like, no, you're in your 30s. And I don't think you can run fast enough. Like,
he's like, do a push-up.
That is a good partner right there.
Yeah,
like, baby, I love you.
I love you so much.
But you mad slow.
Exactly.
Your 40 time is abysmal.
He's like 7'4". Stop. Please stop.
I don't even know the words you're saying. I could not do those things. Jody Richards said that he was going to retire, and I thought, hey, I've always thought that maybe running for political office could be the way I'd be a public servant. I want to try this. And let me tell you guys that what I find very disappointing about the way that politics works in the United States, probably all over the world. I mean, it's probably worse everywhere, but you have to have some money to run for office. And I think that it works in two ways. We don't pay politicians. This is going to sound really radical.
Oh,
this is going to sound radical.
Look in this direction if you want to know radical, because I'm like, we can overthrow all this shit tomorrow.
Please take us to church. Please take us to church.
Well, you're going to hate this because you're socialist. I don't think we pay the people in office nearly enough to be there.
Oh, I agree. You got to incentivize it and bring the cream of the crop to the top instead of these manipulative motherfuckers that run off of back alley deals and shaking hands and kissing babies that don't want to be kissed.
Exactly. Yes.
No, I get it. Like, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to derail, but it kind of reminds me of the concept of bringing up the minimum wage, and one of the major impediments behind that is, well, civil servants, EMTs, first responders, they get paid $15, $16, $17 an hour. Is it equitable to give a burger flipper the same amount of money?
Like,
no, bitch, you raise their wages as well.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. You have to incentivize these fields in order to bring the best people to them. I agree 100%.
So we've got two problems. So one, it takes a lot of money to get into it in the first place. But also, once you get there, there's not any money to be had.
Sure.
So I had settled a big civil litigation case last year. And truthfully, Ashley Shepard only wants one thing in this whole wide world, and she still didn't have it. I want a swimming pool. That's all I want, y'all. That's all I want in my life.
Yeah.
A swimming pool. I'd be happy.
Yeah. Let's start a GoFundMe.
GoFundMe for my swimming pool.
Give her a pool.
So I had this savings account. I had saved up my money for my swimming pool. Jody Richards retires, and I was like, you know, we're going to do this.
This is
so
awesome.
We're going to take the swimming pool money, and sorry, kids, you're going to have to go to Beach Bend this year. Oh, that's terrible. You're going to go to Beach Bend. You're going to go to
Beach
Bend.
That was
our
cost
year.
Of entry. You know, that was this is something that you had thought about for a very long time. It was something that you were passionate about. And like everything that we talk about, anything worth doing has a cost of entry.
Mm-hmm.
And this was yours.
That was my cost of entry. It was swimming pool money. And,
Ancient cultures that didn't understand cause and effect would throw someone into a volcano caldera and be like, obviously we're going to have good crops. Standing on the shoulders of giants, have a little bit more clarity.
Exactly. Didn't have to throw anyone into a volcano.
Very, very few people got thrown into a volcano during this campaign.
Exactly. Just a couple. So, but I knew going in, and this is another thing about the cost of entry, that if I even made it to the office, that it's just, and I'm going to say just, it's just, and I'm doing the air quotes here because you can't see it on the podcast.
Yeah, he always says, I'm doing air quotes. Yeah. Air quotes.
So, just a part-time job. But we all know that even our state lawmakers are working all the time talking to someone. So it really impacts what you're doing in your own business or your own career.
Yes.
So we don't pay the people nearly enough once they get there, which is why people who probably should be there, the smartest among us, are like, hell no, I'm not even touching this.
Yeah.
So I knew even if I won the election, I wasn't getting my swimming pool money back. It wasn't like I was going to have that return. Mm-hmm. Whenever I gave that swimming pool money away, it was gone, and I knew it. Which I'm sure people are already tired of hearing me talk about. So.
No, I'm not sacrificed, man.
We try to stifle our self-aggrandizing behavior because Kalu and I will sit around and talk about how great we are. So don't even worry about
got
that
terrible
shit.
Terrible ego problems.
Yeah, we do.
we can talk about that on another episode with the mental health.
Yes. Yeah, we need. Yeah, yeah, I'm like, please take some of this confidence away from me.
Someone
prove me wrong.
That's wonderful. So I went into it with the mindset of it doesn't matter. Okay, I wanted to win. Sure. Obviously, I did.
Yeah.
But I'm 34 years old. I'm not from Bowling Green. I know I am a Democrat convert.
Do you think that worked against you?
No. I don't even know that anybody knew that part of it.
Yeah.
But I knew that I very likely would not win. And I was okay with that because I wanted to get a message across. And somebody said something to me, a local attorney in town, after the election. He said, I could tell that one of the candidates got all of their votes because they knew everybody at a particular institution. Mm-hmm. I could tell one candidate got all their votes because they'd lived here their entire life. So, but you earned every single vote that you got because nobody knew who you were.
Yes. Let me tell you something, too. I remember I was at the gym, and... I was talking to just random people. I'd never showed up over there. But I was talking about...
He has
about,
so many friends. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's really bad.
He's like,
remember the confidence thing we were talking about?
Yes, he's like, I'm the most popular man in Bowling
Green. He's like, quit being a peasant and come to BAC.
That's what I told him.
And then I go to BAC because I go to either Powerhouse occasionally. Shout out to Powerhouse. I don't go nearly enough.
Yeah,
but predominantly work out anytime. So he's like, quit being a peasant, bitch, and come work out with me. And then I go there, and Kalu's like... Hey, Harold, how are the kids? And then he's like, he said, I'm scoping on him. The dude's like an ex-Marine. Every time he sees me, I have to do push-ups for him. It doesn't matter if I'm in the fucking mall or not. And I'm like, oh, I gotta do push-ups. And he's like, Lonnie, nice delts, man.
I didn't say that.
No, he didn't, but he was acting like it. And I'm in there curmudgeonly as fuck, like,
yeah.
All I'm picturing right now is, Dave, would you like some juice?
Yes.
Yes.
Would you like some juice?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I was at the gym, and we were talking about politics and, you know, the people running. And the one guy said, Ashley's not going to win. She doesn't have enough money. And I said, that's not what it's about, man. I was like, I'm banking on her playing the long game, right? And... all she needs to do is make this stuff matter. All you gotta do is make this shit matter, because right now, and you can see the numbers, nobody gives a fuck.
Right.
Zero people give a fuck. So what they need is someone who truly does, and it's just gonna take time.
And
people
exposure.
Start, yeah. So this is, you see 361 votes. For me, that's 361 people that believe, like we said, that's 361 people that's going to spread that message. And if you're playing the long game and if you're treating this like a marathon and not a race, which they keep thinking the shit is, it is going to turn into way more people than that. I see if this goes the way I hope that it goes, this 361 people is going to be a fucking army. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of stuff that
because
I'm
diffuses.
It absolutely diffuses.
But the thing is that you have to be ever present. Still.
Exactly.
You have to manifest yourself again, because it's like, what were, you know, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever your opinion is regarding Hillary Clinton, she did disappear
yes.
a bit from the political scene. I'm being kind about
yeah,
it, but
yeah.
but went off the map for a bit, and it didn't bode well for people that were fringe supporters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I voted for Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. I did. I was a Bernie supporter. Mm-hmm. Right. But again, I wasn't entirely like, oh, yes, he's going to fix everything. It was, I feel like I can hold my own accountable.
Yes.
And if my own is not living up to even the slightest modicum of my standards, then I'm about to go completely AWOL with this
yeah.
shit. And, you know, that's really the long and short mm-hmm. of it. But her disappearing, I think, did not bode well
I don't
her,
think it did.
Her longevity.
Because I don't think that that's what a true leader is. And to go on to the stuff that we're talking about, I personally don't think that the leaders of this world are elected. I don't think so.
Oh, well, and
no one elected Steve Jobs. Every motherfucker wants a Mac.
And dig this. This is something I was thinking about earlier. Whenever you even presented this concept that we were going to be talking about today, I was like, how could this be framed or reframed? And she presented one side of it. It almost in the sense of it being a calling to a degree.
Yes.
You feel there's a bit of a legacy element, it being in your family, but you also feel it inside of you. That, and I genuinely believe you want to make a positive
yeah.
difference. You right. want to spearhead it. You've got
yeah.
good ideas. You know how to communicate with people. The other end of the spectrum that I think that we often don't think about as much, that is also a very viable leader, is the reluctant leader
mm-hmm.
that has the skill set, that has the tools, the ability to reach people, and has really no desire, but they reluctantly set the shit aside and step up. And I don't think they're necessarily mutually exclusive.
I don't
right.
think they are.
I
yeah.
agree with you. And what I tried to tell people throughout the campaign, I knew going, like I told you guys, I knew
mm-hmm.
going in I probably wasn't going to win, so I said, I have to make this make a difference.
Yes.
And one thing that I tried to do throughout my campaign is make everybody rise to a level that we don't have anymore in
mm-hmm.
the way that we communicate with one another. So everything was about mediation. How can we all reach a common ground, even if that common ground is extremely broad about an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Then if we can reach that one common ground, we can come together a little bit. We
yeah.
can at least get somewhere, some traction.
It's
so,
rooted in empathy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely rooted in empathy. One of the things that I've said, this is probably like the fourth or fifth podcast that I've said it. The thing that I want to do is to get two people on two opposite sides of an argument, and like vehemently opposite sides
right.
of an argument. And I want them to study the opposite side and then argue it to that person. And I want to see what happens, because what I think
and
will happen is that oh shit moment where they're like, this is why you think that way.
And maybe Capital Arts or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Capital Arts.
Yeah, Capital Arts.
Oh, that would be
you know,
so
keep us in mind.
Awesome.
Yeah, Kalu and I moderating two polar opposite individuals that have done their respective research for the other side. And then, honestly, and I'm not trying to be haughty, but man, we have more interest in our podcast than we know what to do with at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that would allow for 20, 30 people to sit in and watch
yeah, yeah.
sausage get made, so
yeah.
to speak.
And I think that you know, part of this thing, and also with what, I think it falls in line with what you're talking about, with what you were wanting, or what you were running based on, right, is we do need people sort of listening to each other. That's something that it's really hard to do. So the easy route is by playing to what people are scared of, or playing to what people are down with the entire time. We always say that things like the internet, they create or allow for limitless information, limitless knowledge, but also limitless isolation.
Right.
And misinformation.
And misinformation.
Yeah, you can create
so,
your own echo chamber
yeah.
and live in that motherfucker and
yeah.
just get mulled over and over
exactly.
again.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of the people that were running for different things, they sort of played on that because that is the easy route. The hard route, the true grind, is doing this kind of stuff and coming up. And like I said, the true leaders out there are the ones that they may have lost tons of stuff.
Of
and
course,
they're just still
yes.
going out there, still being present,
mm-hmm.
and still sort of leading in some way, shape, or form. Because what I always think is that I don't need to elect someone to change my community. I don't. Like,
yes,
just go and
exactly
just
right.
go and be that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's really, really, it's hard to do. It's hard to step outside when there's just so much bullshit happening all the time. And so I commend anyone that does that kind of stuff. But going on that, do you think that at the time when you decided to run, do you think that you were the perfect leader?
No, but I think that I wanted to be.
Okay.
I wanted to be better. And what I told people throughout was, I only want you to cast your vote for me if you think that I am the best person for the job. And the reason why I want you to do that is because I also live in this community.
Sure.
And if I'm not the best person for the job, that's bad for me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is the community.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that.
So,
and that's the kind of leadership, honestly, that we need, is that you play devil's advocate with your own bullshit and you're willing to step aside if somebody has the tools to do it better and reach
exactly.
more people.
And, you know, what I said was, well, obviously, I think I would be the best or I wouldn't still be in this. That wasn't to say that I thought that anybody else would do a poor job at it. It was just that I wanted the same job that they did.
That's where we're different, because I'd be like, if it's not me, you suck.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be too, because I'm like, I'm about to do this
yeah.
way, and I've been thinking about it for a real long time.
Yeah,
and if you don't vote for me, you cut your own throat.
Yeah. If I was you, I'd be like, no, she steals.
Yeah, she steals. And then I'm riding in my version of a Popemobile, just like food stamps, just making it rain.
Dude, for real. That's gotta
stop. They don't make those anymore, but I remember when they did.
Me too, bro. Me
hey.
Too. Me
yeah.
too.
So, I mean, it was always about intellectual honesty, trying to get people to some common ground on any issue. It didn't matter what it was.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing that happened was, this was probably in February, and so this lady, social media is fantastic, though. It
Isn't
makes
it?
My life.
It
so.
Is. If you know,
you
how, if
to
you know how to,
our episode
if you know
media.
How to work social media,
yeah.
hey, it's that thing.
But y'all know I don't know how to use Instagram, but
yeah.
I can use Facebook and Twitter. And so Facebook was my main. It was my main deal. Like, that's really
yeah.
how I advertised and got my message across to people. But I had this one lady respond. This was a post about helping animals. And this was an animal welfare post.
Mm-hmm.
And her response to me was, "Miss Shepherd, I want you to know that the Christian community is against you." And I was like, "The fuck?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
did I do? I'm talking about, like, helping homeless animals.
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
what did I
but
do?"
But I'm
going
to tell you, the Satan worshipers amongst us, we had your back, dog.
Yeah, for her, there we go.
But, you know, I was thinking, like, do I need to call my mom and tell her that, like, she's against, like, am I against myself? I don't know. I don't
yeah.
know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
So I found this lady. She was at the Senior Citizen Center one day, so I went and I talked to her, and I was like,
that
hey.
Takes
was she living
stuff.
There?
No. I mean, she lives at the Towers, but she was down, like, at Community Action at the
oh,
Senior
okay.
Center. So I found her, and I went and I talked to her, and I was like, hi. And she was like, oh, hi. She was being so kind to me, and all of a sudden she went, oh, I know who you are. I was
yeah.
like, yeah, hi.
When I run
I heard
around people, I heard you've been talking shit. Let's go. Let's go.
Break yourself.
Yeah.
Empty your pockets. Hold on to my belt loop.
Did you square up, though?
No, I mean, it was one of those things where I wanted to know where she was coming from. And it was because I was talking about helping animals. She could not rationalize in her head why I would want to help animals, but that would be affiliated with a party that was pro-choice. She could not.
Wow.
She could not reconcile those two things. But she also probably listens to a lot of InfoWars, Breitbart. So she had a lot of, like.
Screw up my
mouth. So she had a lot of misinformation where
yeah.
she thought that, you know, people were using abortion as, like, regular birth control. So people were, like, having abortions every month, you know, that's how they,
yeah.
you know. So she just had some misinformation. So whenever I just sat and talked to her like she was a human, the best thing, this is the best thing, she said, I just didn't know why you didn't delete my post.
Damn.
And I said, well, because I think that's very unfair, because
yes.
if you're going
yes.
to step out into the political arena, you cannot censor what anyone has to say. I said, so long as someone doesn't say something violent or, you know, homophobic or racist, I'm not going to take it down.
Matt Bevin doesn't feel that way.
He does not.
Yeah, he doesn't.
But, you know, I'm not in the club yet. He hasn't banned me from Twitter. I'm a little bit upset.
Well, see, I don't fuck with Twitter too much, but my friend, shout out to Wes Buchanan, we got on and terrorized some shit on Facebook, and I'm banned from that, like, bigger than hell.
But she decided she liked me because she said, I just didn't know why you didn't delete your post. Nancy Pelosi always deletes my post. And I said, well, Nancy Pelosi shouldn't do that. And because I said Nancy Pelosi shouldn't do that, then for the rest of the campaign, she'd be like, you just need to listen to what she has to say. So,
see, that's the thing. Great. Like, people, you understand your why, and you know what comes with that. And I think one of the things that we even said in another podcast, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, right? Mm-hmm. And for you to go over there and actually talk to them and have a straight-up adult conversation, that speaks huge. And that's why I'll keep repeating to you that the 361 is going to be a lot more if you continue this same type of thing.
And the thing is, and this sounds very mundane in general, and I've said it before, but I have a policy whereby I do not delete people off of Facebook. Even if they're flooding my feed with propaganda, I don't delete them. And honestly, if I feel like I can lovingly or semi-lovingly approach them and discuss it with them, then I'll do so.
Yeah.
And even if things deteriorate to the point where I'm trepidatious to say debate. It lightweight becomes a snark party for a little bit. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, honestly, there ends up being some sort of catharsis. And I don't think it's like a contrived one whereby, you know, we're just both exhausted from talking. It's like, wait a minute, this dude gives enough of a shit to sit mm-hmm. here and go to war with me over this time. He actually cares. And that's what I tell these cats, like, that refuse to do the research.
Yeah.
But have strong opinions regardless.
Yes.
I show them love. Mm-hmm. I show them love, but at the same time, I'm going to chastise them. I'm going to pick at them. They're your buddies, man. Mm-hmm. What do you do with your buddies? I mean, we shit on each other constantly, man. So it's a mixture of, like, it takes a while for them to recognize that the investment of time, and we mention a lot that time is the mother of all commodities.
It is.
It's what you convert into every other type of commodity or currency. If you're taking that time to invest in that individual, and you're the kind of cat that's got better things to do, which they know, I've got mushrooms to hunt. You know what I'm saying? That gourmet ones, not like...
psilocybin
ones.
He fooled me with some mushrooms last...
I did. Yeah. I got this big bundle of what's called chicken of the woods mushrooms.
Okay.
They're beautiful and elaborate and orange. It looks like creamsicle color, and it's huge. And it actually is texturally and flavor-wise not too terribly far off from chicken breast.
Okay.
So I slipped it in with all this melange of Basque nonsense that I created, and I just handed it to Clu. Clu looked at me, and he said, what is it? And I said, chicken. And I wasn't exactly lying. Yeah, I wasn't exactly lying because it has chicken in the name. Sure, and he ate it, sure. And he was like, yeah, bitch, that's chicken. And I was like, no, it's not. And he looked at me like, either I'm going to fight Chris, or I'm going to figure this out. And then
I saw some nasty-looking thing on the table. And that was what it was. And I was like, what?
Yeah, but then it was fire. And then he was like, Elizabeth, you've got to try this. And I handed it to her. And she looked at me in the exact same way. And I was like, who are you people? Like, both of you all are just like, should I eat this? I'm like, trust me. And she ate it. And she was like, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, see, that's a... So Brandon just hit us with a good quote here. If you want to make everyone happy, don't be a leader. Sell ice cream.
I wish he had just rolled over here with his silky smooth ass green eyed voice and just said it.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
He could look, and he could have mushed both of our faces, and I wouldn't even have been mad. Like, he'd have just been like, excuse me.
Shut up.
I would have. I swear, I've been so proud of him.
But that's true, and that's what I think makes a good leader is that you recognize your fallibility, right? By putting yourself out there, one, by letting people talk shit like that and not erasing it, mm-hmm. that is massive. Because a lot of people, they just have this image of these perfect people. And it just makes me sick to look at. And I'm just like, good God, you are not that perfect. I know, like, some of the guys are in, like, I know you dribble on the seat when you piss a little bit. I know you do something, like, I say dribble on the seat when you piss.
It just keeps coming out, man.
It just can't stop.
And we get yelled at. They tell us in the bathroom, they're like, if you shake it more than twice, you playing with it. Yeah. And now I'm like, if somebody walk in the bathroom, I'm like, one, two, three. And then I'm like, I know this ain't gonna work. And then as soon as it goes back in, you're like, I spotted.
See?
Damn.
I mean, just being able to show that kind of stuff. That's what people need to see. It blows my mind that everyone wants to keep this perfect image and this perfect whatever. Like, why everyone says that they want to vote for someone that represents me. Yeah. Are you perfect all the time? No.
No.
So why would you vote for someone who's not?
And that's cheese dickery of the highest order, too. It should be, I want somebody that's going to help as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because there's no way, like we were saying, like Brandon said, there's no way you can please everybody and be effective and be super instrumental. So there's going to be collateral damage. Mm-hmm. You got to trim some stuff from some other things. And it's terrifying. And it facilitates fear. And it causes people to be more, they cling more closely to their party affiliation.
Yes.
And that's something that I was thinking about also when we were talking about this, the difference. A lot of people don't understand the difference between political orientation and party affiliation. It's the difference between sex and gender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And people treat them as though they're the same entity, but no, they kind of reside on, you know, an XY axis, I guess you could say, if we're talking about a two-party system and whatnot. But.
Well, and people in the United States are way too comfortable in thinking that the people that they have elected are doing what they thought that they were doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I made all of these videos to try and educate people. Now, when I would start out the videos, they would always say, if I've gotten any of this information wrong, or if you've got more information, I'm here to learn just as much as I'm here to teach. Because, I mean, I think it's circular of, if you're the leader, you're also, you have to follow the people who got you there,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes,
you do. So I'm not trying to tell you what you should think. I'm trying to tell you, here's what I know thus far. Tell me more so it can help me develop. And, you know, I would just say something and I have all these people go, I had no idea that this was the way things were, because I just thought this was getting taken care of. Like in Kentucky, just for example, when it goes to like animal welfare, we're the only state in the United States where a veterinarian is statutorily prohibited from reporting abuse and neglect of an animal.
Wow.
Yes.
If they report that, I'd be on an ass-beating spree, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can start a side business.
Maybe we can start a side business.
Retribution,
like,
Inc.
It's like knocking on doors. Do you beat your dog? Yes.
Well, then I beat you up.
Beat that ass.
Yeah. Somebody get their legs beat backwards.
Yes.
So people will just go, oh, my God, I had no idea. Why has nobody done anything about this? And I'm not trying to get all intellectual and everything, but
hey, do it.
Yeah, do it.
I do it all the time, and then I say bad words.
Mm-hmm. But most of our lawmakers have no knowledge about the law before they go into their office. And that's not to say that they're bad people or that they're not well suited to govern, but they just don't know what they're dealing with. And I had to go to college for 7 years before anybody said it was okay for me to say, I know what the law is, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But we let people with, you know, a high school degree or maybe with a degree in something very random and out there.
Communications. I've got a communications degree, so I'm
never shitting on anyone with communications.
Hell no. Hell no. But if you're going to be making life and death decisions that affect my clients and my livelihood, tell me how your communications degree lends itself to your efficacy in public office.
Yes.
So we have people who don't know what they're doing. It's not that they're not well-intentioned, and they absolutely are. I don't think that, but very like a minuscule amount of people go into politics with bad intentions. Yeah. I think that most overwhelming majority of people that go into it really do want to help and make a difference.
Yeah. But and sometimes they get dragged down the rabbit hole, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yes. And speaking of that, right, I've always thought that what makes a good leader is someone that is good at meeting people exactly where they are with with a goal for a higher place. Yes. What a lot of people do is they come in at this much higher place and they just stay there and they tell you that this higher place is more important than where you are. And that's why you vote for these people, right? Mm-hmm. And they essentially just forget about these little things that are happening. When I think that if you were to, or if anyone were to meet the community at exactly where they are,
in the bottom,
they would see more of the effects or the changes that they are that they want.
Well, and that's one of the things that I've even, as silly as it may sound, I've even thought about running for some sort of public office at some point, despite the fact that I have a relatively colorful past. I mean, occasionally I get in a fist fight and people find out about
yeah.
it. I had to defend my boo, Eric Lancaster. He was getting beat up by some unsavory redneck boys, and there was nothing I could do.
Well, but, I mean, you have to do what you have to do.
You got
to
be down for your peoples. I'll take a charge. I'll take a charge for my community, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Sometimes you just have to grab people by the, you know, undercarriage.
The grundly parts and things.
Yeah.
No, it's truly about that. I mean, it is meeting people where they are. It baffles me that no one thinks to do that.
Well, and speaking their language. You have to speak someone's language. It's not being disingenuous to use code switching.
Yeah.
You use code switching. Yes. I use code switching constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's not being disingenuous. It's operating at a high social level.
Yeah.
It's communicating with somebody a way that you all mutually understand that you're being sincere about, but they get it.
Yeah.
The cadence of your voice, the words you choose to use. And I tell you what, even when I meet somebody in the community, I still use big words, words that aren't conventionally part of everyday, you know, usage. These are people with severe mental illness. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Even if they don't understand the word that I used,
they feel your intent.
I'm giving them credit. I'm looking them in the eye and I'm throwing that word out and they're like, he's not saying that.
He's not talking down to me.
No, he's saying that because he believes that I can grasp what he's saying and it goes a long ass way than to dumb stuff down because people will surprise you with their aptitudes too. Oftentimes they're much more inward and dialed back, and then what you see is the institutionalized element of it. What they want you to see, their operating system.
And it's just when you had said too about running for something, there should absolutely be more people running for things, right?
Instead of running from things.
Got him. It's for me, I say it's for the souls or for the sake of just making, if the idea of the great politician or leader is someone with a lot of money and knows everyone. If that idea is a person, then I think that the idea of running, of just random people running for these things who actually have a real intent to help their community, that's like punching that person in the face. It's making them bleed. All we need to do is make that system, make whatever bleed, and over time it will turn into something. And so I'll keep telling you, keep doing this. But I also want to ask, has your idea of a good leader changed since losing the election?
No, not at all. And I think that the candidate that came out of my primary, I think she would be an excellent leader. I think that we would do things differently than one another, but that doesn't mean that she would do them wrong and I would do them right. It would just be in a different way. But no, and I don't intend to stop. I definitely want to put myself out there. Now, I've got to save up the swimming pool money and lose it again in order to keep getting myself out there. Well, because, it takes a chunk of change.
If we can help, let us know.
We can't because we say too much terrible shit.
Hey, but you know what? I can get people to vote that wouldn't otherwise vote.
Yeah, because again, I don't... What you've said, I do not give a shit what party you're with. So that's why I say people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. We're bought into your why. So you can go and go for whatever party you want. If it's some, like, goat-punching party or some shit like that, we're like, squad with goat-punching.
Fuck a goat.
Yeah, for real. Punch all of them.
Punch all of them.
Ship's punching goats. We got it. We're punching them,
but the veterinarian can't turn you in, so you're
crazy. Hey! Nice. Yeah.
So, but one person said something to me that I didn't realize was my purpose in this. I think that it was very clear to most of the establishment early on, even up in Frankfurt, that I wasn't going to win, but I was doing something. And what I was doing was rocking the boat in the right ways, because I wasn't rocking the boat at the fellow candidates. I was rocking it at the institution. So I really, really pissed off the Cabinet for Health and Family Services at a state level. I mean, it required every social worker in this region to get an email that said, don't share this Facebook post, essentially. So it really pissed off everybody. Governor Bevin was really mad at me over one video.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was good. But what this person said was, I think you were here to hold everyone else accountable, because you were able to do it in a way that you didn't seem like you were telling them you have to behave this way, but you were asking, why will you not behave civilly to other people? Why are you trying to talk bad about a party or another person instead of the institution itself?
Yeah.
That's what needs to be changed. And like, okay, great. I was there for the accountability. That's wonderful. I hope that it really did make a difference. And I did see that for the most part in my primary, we all treated each other with civility.
Sure.
And that was excellent. And somebody said that they thought, had I not been there to kind of put those reminders in to validate the other people in your party, especially who are running for the same office, that maybe they wouldn't have acted that way. I don't know. I doubt that. The people that I was running with, I mean, I don't think they're going to go out and like throat punch each other or anything.
But that's part of the problem with America. Have you seen how shit works in Singapore? They are wilding. All these 135 pound dudes is just.
Yeah, I can totally see Rick DeBose just taking an elbow to Slim Nash.
Cheers. I love you, Slim.
Love you, Slim. Love you, Rick.
Hey, you my boy.
So, all right, give me some traits of a good leader. I know you said that you wouldn't change your approach or anything like that, but what are some traits that people need to have if they want to lead? Because I don't think that you need to be elected to lead.
And who are some people that you
Who are some people that you look up to and follow?
You know, Richard Gere is a big hero of mine. Sting.
All right.
Don't do the Zoolander. You know.
Oh, I was like, dang.
Yeah, no.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
I missed that one. That's my bad.
No, who do I look up to? Damn. You know.
Clue, who do you look up to?
Who do you look up to?
Right now, because I think it changes a lot, right? Right now, I certainly look up to Gary Vaynerchuk. I like his authenticity. His approach rubs people the wrong way, but for the right reason. Because, I think people just need to wake up.
Your message has to have teeth.
It has to have teeth, yeah.
You have to be provocative or it's not going to fucking do anything.
And I'm not even being, like, cheesy here, but I absolutely do look up to my dad. Because just for this, if you heard our fatherhood thing, he explained the reason why he was hard on me was to be better than him, not to be like him or anything, because he was that person that kind of had that, if you want to say cast a shadow, everyone knew who he was. He was doing all kinds of great things, and I got tired of that, and he was like, I did this because I want you to be better than me, you know what I'm saying? I don't want you to be like me at all. And so that's definitely someone who I look up to.
Hell, I look up to your daddy. Your daddy,
he's a good dude.
But I mean, even within the context of him being my professor, he was absolutely above reproach the whole time. He believed what he was saying. He was well informed of what he was saying, and he put up with no bullshit whatsoever, especially amongst those that he felt like had the ability.
Yeah, yeah. And I try to take that same approach, and so. Another person that I definitely look up to is Simon Sinek, just because he's the concept of why is literally what drives much of what I do in my life now. Mm-hmm. I literally don't touch things if I don't have a why behind it. It leads me to do things that may not make sense, right? But I believe in why I'm doing it, and you know I always think that when you have a why, 1 + 1 = 3. And everyone's gonna be like, "What the hell does that mean? I don't get it." But you believe it,
right.
And that's literally all that I need. And so those are my people. And I think that as I continue to grow and develop, I think that that's going to change. Because one of the other things that we say in our podcast is when you're ready to learn life's lessons, life's teachers will appear.
Absolutely.
And when you're ready to experience them, they'll disappear. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's time to learn stuff on your own.
Well, and my man who currently is kind of a beacon of light and reason and kind of proxies a lot of things that I'm feeling is Michael Render, mm-hmm. also known as Killer Mike. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his whole concept of kill your masters. And then we've talked about that before, but kill your masters, it does not literally mean go out and commit murder on right. someone. It means the things that are stifling you or governing you. It's that framework. And you know what? I forgot to bring it up, but I was even, and this is some corn dog silly shit, so bear with me. You know the scene from Forrest Gump where he can't walk and he's got all that gear on his legs?
Yeah.
And then he just takes off and he's just gone?
Yeah.
All that gear that's strapped to him that made him have straight legs and able to walk are all these people and concepts that you're absorbing through your formative periods. And then when you're ready to take off and run and you've got all the tools that you need, that shit just sloughs off yep. to a degree. It doesn't mean that you don't appreciate the utility. And it doesn't mean that you can't even revisit some of those individuals with fondness or find other things from them. But at a certain point, you become a peer.
Yeah.
That's the ideal.
Yep.
Actually, a good leader wants you to be better than them, like you said about your father.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what about you now?
Well, I think that on the base level, we want our parents to be proud of us and to accept us. I mean, that's something that we all want. And I've got little Cindy Shepherd who's rocking her Resist t-shirt and,
that's awesome.
You know, trying to fight the man all the time. And my dad's just a hippie and fantastic.
We're going to have your mama on the show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'll cuss less.
Well, she talks like this. And the other day she said, Ashley, I've been so mad today. I said the F word.
Oh, my
so
God.
It's wonderful.
That would
yeah,
be so awesome.
You need to have her on the show.
I have my mom and your mom.
Oh, we don't want my mom.
My mom is silly. My mom would be like, you know what, Chris? Generally, I'm just not impressed by people.
My mom is impressed of everything all the time.
My mama don't give a fuck about nothing. You know, do you know how much positive reinforcement I got as a child?
Not much.
Zero. Like, I'm like, mama, I did 35 pull-ups. She's like, well, obviously, you're genetically gifted. Get out of my face. Or, I got A's. You should get A's.
Yeah.
If you get a B, I'm going to slap you. I'm just kidding. She's only slapped me a few days.
I got slapped a ton.
I did, too. Yeah. I did.
Yep.
But it stopped hurting after a while. And it made me even more mad. She used to whoop me with the hairbrush sometimes. And I'm like, what are you going to do, tiny woman?
But how do I go back in?
I know, hey, right? Your mom was someone you looked up to.
Yeah, sorry.
Then, of course, having my background in the law, what I really look towards is, you know, the bench. And so, obviously, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's my jam. And, yeah, I mean, but sometimes she's my jam, but sometimes I go, you know, you're being a little too political from the bench. And maybe that's another reason why I want to be in politics is because when we look at the law versus politics, they're two totally separate things.
Yes, yes.
And because it kind of goes back to needing legislators who understand the law in the first place. Because what we see happening time and time again is that, politically speaking, we allow institutions to tell us, you know, or to tell certain politicians, you're going to have to legislate in a certain way. But what their political beliefs are may not be in tune with what is allowable under the Constitution or what's been allowable over the course of time based on the case law that the courts have developed for us. And so what we see now is with this new appointment for the Supreme Court, you know, everybody is just like, oh, thank God. Now we're going to be able to overturn all of these horrible, horrible things. Well, no. politics allows for you to maybe go in and say, I'm going to be able to reverse everything that's been done before. But constitutionally speaking, they've got to continue on with the precedent that's been set. And certain cases that they're talking about, Roe v. Wade being one, I mean, that has been the law of the land. Planned Parenthood versus Casey.
Even Tommy Lauren's raggedy ass was like, yo, we'd be remiss if we dialed back Roe v. Wade.
Right. And then we have a lot of people, like I've had some people that are in the LGBTQ community coming in saying, I'm really concerned that my marriage is going to be invalidated. I'm very concerned that, you know, I need to do an adoption now because what if we're not married tomorrow? We don't know what to do. And it's because politicians don't understand what jurisprudence is and they don't understand the law itself. And so people make a lot of promises that they constitutionally cannot keep. And in Kentucky, we have lawmakers, which we've seen in this past legislative session, time and time again, making bad law that is not going to be upheld.
Term limits, y'all.
Yes.
Or, I mean, even like a requirement that you just have a basic understanding of how government works before you...
Oh, yeah. Should be pretty much... I mean, there's exams for any number of things that are so much less important.
Mm-hmm.
On a grand scale than
this.
But
I also think, though, that before any of this political thing, it truly just starts with us as regular people.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to take our education more seriously.
Oh,
we've got to
but
just
that's
take,
part of the formula.
Yeah,
we've
got to take each other more seriously.
Yeah.
There's just, we've got to take the care of our community more seriously and stop giving control or care of it to other people. And the example I used it in our when we were at lunch, and it was the fact that we're talking about people going and voting people to fix the bad potholes or road systems or whatever. There is a pizza delivery company that is putting out commercials saying, hey, if your roads are bad because and it's disturbing the way that you can get a pizza home to your house, let us know, we'll fix it.
Yeah, are your toppings sliding off?
Yeah.
We'll come fill that shit up.
You've been wasting your life voting for someone to fix this thing when any company could have just come and done it because they want to.
Right.
Literally, we're counting on people to fix the wrong things.
Cool.
So what we need to do is start learning and making stuff that is in our community, like learn to reseal shit or whatever, you know, and like
yeah.
go out there and do it. Or any of these other type of things, and it's like quit counting on this.
And you know,
you're
basically revisiting what has been one of our core concepts in our early podcasts, mm-hmm. is to facilitate an era or usher in an era where people aren't entirely defined by one element of their profession or
yes.
whatever. And we talk about how in American culture, and it's unique to American culture, what is one of the first things that somebody asks you when they meet you?
What do you do?
And it's incredibly rude. If you go to other countries, it's incredibly rude. Here, it's like, it's kind of for lack of a better term, a dick measuring contest. They want to know how much respect to give you in conjunction with that stuff. And I've said the quote before, but I feel like it's one of the most fundamental elements of us moving forward as a society is don't teach your children what to think. Teach your children how to think. Teach your children to question everything.
That's
yes.
exactly what my dad
and
I question him.
Yeah, and you got to. And I think you can translate that to those that you're a leader under.
Yes.
You facilitate, hey, I want you to be able to come to me and question me.
And you know what that is at its base level? That's empowerment.
And that's a George Carlin quote, by the way.
I mean, literally,
nice.
You're... Yeah, oh yeah, he's all about George Carlin.
That's the closest thing to religion that I deal
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah. But it is truly empowering people, and I think people are scared to make choices for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've dealt with it, with people voting for people that just they know because of... whatever.
Or straight ticket. Or just straight ticket.
Mm-hmm. One of the best things that happened during the campaign, other than the Nancy Pelosi lady, was this guy that I know, an acquaintance of mine, he called one day and he was like, I want to let you know I took care of it. It's all taken care of, but people were saying really awful things about you on topics.
Topics!
I'm
straight!
I'm about to start a rumor about Chef right now.
And Brandon.
Yes.
All the ones about him are true.
They are, though.
So I cackled and I was like, do you understand that I, like, tell the court on a daily basis this person should never have their child back ever for the rest of their lives?
Yeah.
Or I'm taking half of somebody's stuff away from them and giving it to a person they hate. Yeah, people say bad shit about me on topics all the time. Yeah. It's totally fine.
Oh, they're lightweight threatened to kill you, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and again, it's a different dynamic, but to be honest with you, there's an enormous amount of commonality between high-level social workers and attorneys.
Oh, absolutely. And so, I mean, that was another thing of stepping in the political arena. I think some people are so, and there's nothing wrong with this, but people are afraid of what other people think about them.
Yeah.
And you really have to go out there, and I mean, it's like that bad dream you have when you're a kid that you show up at school and you're naked, because that's how it is.
Chris, don't tell Chris. He dreams for that. It's a good dream for him.
I'm like, whoops a daisy.
Oh my god.
No. So I mean, it's like being naked, you know, out in public, because people can say whatever they want to say about you. Most of the time, it's not true. There was something about me and a frat party at UK, and I was like, I never went to a frat party at UK. I went to WKU. So I mean, it was just one of those like random things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a great experience though.
Yeah. And is it one that you would repeat, or are you sort of set on leading outside of that realm?
I will continue to do everything I can on the level that I can right now. And right now, thankfully, through this campaign, there's been a couple of organizations that said, hey, you know, we like what you said. We hate that you didn't get elected. But if you'll help us write some legislation and present it to people. And one thing that I think was great about the campaign was I did everything I could to not lose any goodwill with the people who might eventually get there.
Sure.
I was very supportive of, you know, just the fact that, hey, you're another human that's going through this.
Yeah.
This is great. So I'm hoping that we can find the people that win in November and present them with this legislation that we're drafting together.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I'll continue to do what I can right now. And, you know, yesterday I made a Facebook post because I'm down in the trenches sometimes in mental health court, and you're fighting a battle where this doctor, finally, he was on the record. He goes, I know nobody will ever hear this, but we have to do something. We have to change our mental health system. We have to fix it. And I thought, everybody in this room is listening to you, but
no one
in this room who can do anything about, there's nobody in this room who can do anything about it.
And currently state legislation is gutting anything related to severe mental illness, addressing that kind of stuff, homelessness. It's penalizing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are fighting a losing battle currently.
Yeah. Guys, we can literally go on forever, because this is good.
Great.
This
I
is
like
really
this.
Good. This is really good. And we are going to continue. But I want to wrap up with one thing. What could you tell, what is something that you can tell people who are aspiring to lead and feel that they have to have some kind of clout to get there?
No. The best leadership is through humility, in knowing that you're never going to reach that pedestal that people want you to be on or aspire to think that leaders have to be on. So long as you humble yourself to the people who put you in the leadership role, then you're doing what you need to do. Let everyone else lead you.
Damn. That's good.
That's just the way that I feel about it.
Let them lead you.
In my line of work, and it's a difficult thing to explain because technically I'm a case manager, but that's only in relation to like how finance works and stuff. But I spearhead a housing program. I won't go into the details because I don't want to, you know, say some scandalous nonsense, and then one of the higher ups is like, you can't really mention what you do here. But yeah, I run a housing program for people with severe mental illness, and absolutely 100%, you know, I'm spearheading this, and I know more about this than anybody in the region. My previous, I call her a mentor. She taught me everything, and she just retired a couple of weeks ago. And before she left, she said,
Chris, you got to step up. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I've done that. Like I'm stepping up. I'm making adjustments. I'm handling business. But the bottom line is communication with my team. And if the team isn't functioning the way it's supposed to, I'm flying blind, man. I don't know shit. I'm garbage. Whether I'm spearheading it or not, I'm the one talking to landlords, talking to community partners, service providers, whatever. If I'm not actively communicating with case managers and BHSs and QMHPs and everything's working cohesively, it doesn't matter how hard I work.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It takes us all banding together to address an issue.
Yep. Perfect.
Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
So if you've ever seen Band of Brothers, if you ever read any of Dick Winters' books, so Major Dick Winters at one point, Buck Compton, who was a lieutenant at the same time that
World War II.
Buck Compton was playing poker with the enlisted men, and Dick Winters got very angry with him. And Buck was like, "No, I'm just trying to, you know, get to know the enlisted men." He said, "But what if you had won the game? Because if you had won the game, you would have taken something away from one of the men. You're their leader. You never put yourself in a position where you will take from them. You were there to only give."
That's incredible. Yeah. That's a great incredible analogy.
Because leaders should be giving, and right now they're taking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they're leading by deception.
Yes,
mm-hmm. It's not true leadership. It's manipulation.
Yeah,
it's rhetoric and manipulation and pandering.
Yep,
and I hate all those things.
Yep. Yes. Before we go, do you have any shout outs to anyone? Any thank yous? Any go to hells to anyone?
Because we'll fight.
Yeah, we'll fight them. Dead serious.
If you, you're cool.
Yeah, there you go. Half baked.
No, but my husband, Todd Porter, I love you. You're fantastic. Thanks for texting me to make sure that I was, you know, still cool. But
she's good.
I'm good. I'm fine. I promise they didn't murder me. Yeah, they don't have the kill barn yet.
Yay! Nice. Not yet.
But you can come train with us.
Yeah.
I'm a certified personal trainer, and he's a maniac. So.
Okay.
I try.
You know, I can't run. So
we don't do that.
Yeah, no.
We don't. We're just trying
to get our gains.
We're all about development. Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, just shout out to the people who are putting up the good fight every day, no matter what you're doing. So long as you're doing what you're doing the best you can do it, then you're being the leader that you need to be.
That's what's up.
And LP said it. Life's not fair. Look, we're lucky just breathing air. Try and appreciate the fact that you have the opportunity to make a difference, whether that be in your life or someone else's life.
Exactly. Guys, thank you all so much for jumping on. We've got our shameless shout outs. Do we have any?
Yeah, of course we've got shameless shout outs. Yeah. First and foremost, Doll Baby Calvin Wiley is back in Bowling Green proper, and I'm trying to get him back in the gym on a regular basis because he's already one of the most beautiful men. I mean, he's in contention with Brandon, but one of the most beautiful men that I know. But I need him in the gym so I can have him all sexy flexy so he can be shirtless at Rome slanging sandwiches and getting all the paper.
Yes.
Shout out to Tessa in the kitchen holding it down, formulating new things all
the
time.
Thank you for that club sandwich. That sent my taste buds to the stratosphere.
Kalu had a tiny tear running down his cheek. He felt like that you did something special for that one. You like
she did.
She had to.
She did. She had to.
She made it with love.
She made it with love.
It was an avocado.
Hey, Kalu was elated about it.
Yes.
But Rome Sandwich Company, guys, one of the best kept secrets in Bowling Green, and they ain't no damn reason why it should be. You all need to flood it. At lunchtime, go in there, get yourself a sandwich, get your coworker a sandwich, bring it back.
Yes.
And you know what? Moving forward, we're probably going to do a little thing where I get like a gift certificate or two from Rome. And then if you're listening, you comment on one of my coworker's posts here, we might throw you a little gift certificate
or something.
But Rome Sandwich Company, delicious, nutritious, snazzy. They got like chandeliers from IKEA and shit in there. Go in there and look.
That's awesome. Silk and Suds, this one's out for you.
Oh, Silk and Suds.
Yes, thank you for the work that you've been doing, making our tub nukes. Very excited for the Splash Bangs to be coming out. Do we have an ETA on that, Brandon? Not yet.
But okay. But we will say, I know we touted Sar Bomba, but to be quite honest with you, Sar Bomba is a massive undertaking. Yes. We've got engineers working around the clock to get this worked out perfectly.
All over the world.
Yes. But we do have Splash Bangs in the works. So if you have smelly friends, get them together.
Yes, yes. And next month, we are going to be starting our campaign because this is going to be our last podcast of July. So we're going to have our, I think it is, maybe it's not. Who cares? I'm going to still say it.
We'll figure out a way to talk some shit to y'all between now and the end of the month, probably.
August is going to be our Overcome month. We're going to have some shirts that we're going to be selling to you all. Yes, and check it out. It's right. Those ones right there. What do you think of those, Chef?
Oh.
Those look tight, don't they?
Those do. I really like it.
Right?
I know what it says.
We've got high-quality shirts.
Yes, yes. So we're really excited about those. Our plan is to come up with a way to donate some of the proceeds to any kind of fund here in town, especially for domestic violence or anything like that.
I'm going to get with Brass. I'm going to talk to Brass. I'm going to, go back to my own organization, talk to them, see what we can get worked out. Hotel Inc., shout out to Hotel Inc.
Yes.
I'm going to discuss with them what they need, and we might just end up creating some sort of fund that we pour money into, and then they can allocate that to whatever they need, if they need supplies or whatever. But it's going down.
Yep.
We have to cover overhead, but as much as possible, we're going to invest back into the community.
Because, again, our idea is to build ourselves by building others, and this is the only way that we're going to be able to do it. And thankfully, it's something that we want to do.
And our shirts are dope as shit.
They look tight. Seriously, they look really good.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yes. I really want one right now.
Yes!
Yeah.
All right, so how is what's his name?
No, man. All right.
Is he okay?
Look, our boy, he called me from a payphone.
Okay.
In Tijuana.
Oh my God, he's in Tijuana?
Yeah.
Huh? Which
boy? He doesn't like you.
Eric Lancaster hates you.
Yeah, and he lightweight gets
How
mad.
Anybody hate Brandy? Because so
he has green eyes.
Because he's got green eyes. And let's be honest, Eric Lancaster is OG, triple OG, but he's the white devil.
Yes, he is.
So they're just kind of the antithesis of one another. But Eric Lancaster, he made it to Tijuana. He apparently staying in a, I don't know if you would call it a hostel or what, but
nothing's hostel when you're
Eric Lancaster. When you're Eric Lancaster, ain't a goddamn thing hostel.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's the mojito amigo down there right now, and I think he's taking a little bit of time off from the single leg slalom.
Mm-hmm.
Slalom.
Yeah.
And in order to just get his head back on straight, he's trying out different mezcals, and he was entertaining the notion of bringing some back, this small batch stuff, and us pimping it out as Saluma stuff, or I could just be lying to y'all.
Yeah, he's lying. yeah, he's absolutely lying.
You don't know this person that's on that poster.
All right, guys, it's been a really great episode. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope to be able to get more awesome content to you. As always, if there are any ways that we can make ourselves better, please reach out. We love you all. We are out.
Peace!